Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And, you know, I was remarking when I came in the studio today after that nice warm weather we've been having today. Seems a little bit on the chilly side, but it's really not bad out, especially for April. It's not bad at all. And a little rainy, a little drizzly. And depending on where you're at, it's maybe more drizzle or maybe more rain or maybe more of not. But it's just kind of drifting around. Somebody once said, at least you don't have to shovel it. So that's always a good thing, too. And it's not without the realm of possibility. It's not like it's never happened that we haven't had snow at this time of year. And hopefully we're done with the snow. Hopefully we're done with the freezes. Although I guess there are some concerns about some potential freezing or frost, at least, coming up over the weekend. But, you know, this is Northeast Ohio, and we just, we'll bear through it. And before you know it, it will be at the time of year where everybody's going to be complaining it's too hot and too humid. And so it's always something. Somebody once observed that Northeastern Ohio, God gave us just enough of each season to get tired of it, to look forward to the next season. So that may be the case. But whatever the case is, this is a day the Lord hath made. And as the Bible says, we ought to be glad and we ought to rejoice in it. So we're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer. And also going to resume our look at the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem that the Bible says is going to be the final dwelling place of the believer. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll take a look at some things here. Also, a couple news things I want to mention as well before we get into that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We just pray that you would just encourage us and help us, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you and all things. Help us to glorify our Lord and Savior, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to visit us. You can find us online. Go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, including our Sunday night programs, 10 o'clock hour, 11 o'clock hour, both on there. And then you can read some articles. The current article, latest article that I have on there is The Death of Shame. And then you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And just want to let you know that we have a special Sunday coming up this weekend, this Sunday, this coming Sunday. Two things. One, we have missionary Mike Drust, who is originally from this area, and he has been working over in Albania and different places, and he's going to be with us this Sunday morning at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We're looking forward to that. And then also we're celebrating our second anniversary in our current location. A lot of people know that we met in a hotel for a number of years. We had a building years ago, and we did not own it. The people who did own it, though, lost the building, and because they lost the building, we lost a place to meet, and so we sojourned temporarily in a hotel for 13 years there in Richfield, and God opened a door for us to come into the building that we're in now. It's a commercial space, and it's located at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. So if you're looking for us, don't look for a building with a steeple. You won't find us. Look for our door. That's the best way to explain it. And Wheatley Road, of course, is State Route 176. We're right near where Interstate 271, Interstate 77 cross, and right there at the corner of Wheatley Road, which going east of Brecksville Road. It's Wheatley Road going north. Or I'm sorry, I should say west and northwest of Brecksville Road. It's Broadview Road, and so that's right where the space is, the commercial space. There's a little suite there, and it's got a coffee shop on one end and a women's fitness thing on the opposite end, and we're right next to the women's fitness there on that eastern end of that little strip mall. So look for us there at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And because we're celebrating our second anniversary in our building, we do it what all good Baptists like to do, find a good excuse to have a church dinner. And so we're having a special meal after the morning service tomorrow. And that just reminded me, I've got a pork loin in the freezer that I was supposed to take out last night. I'll have to get that out when I get done with the radio, because I was getting that to thaw out, because we were going to turn that into pulled pork for the service there, and that's part of what we have on the menu. But anyway, that's coming up, so pray for us, and we'd love to have you visit. It'd be a great time to come out and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can also visit us at our Friday night Bible study, which is tonight at 7 o'clock. And we'll have those meeting times given here at the end of the program. But 7 o'clock tonight is our Friday night Bible study. It's an informal Bible study, and you bring the topics, and we talk about things that are happening in the world, talk about things in the Bible, basically the same thing like we try to do on the radio, especially on Sunday nights, questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And there's a lot of things happening in the world today, which brings me another thing. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, it is really kind of interesting things that are going on there. After days of Iran warning and threatening Israel, don't you dare do anything. If you do anything, we are going to come at you. We're going to destroy you. We've got weapons that you can't even imagine that we have. And we'll just come right after you. The least little thing, we're going to obliterate you. All that bluster, well, it's all it was bluster, because last night, early this morning, it'll be last night our time, early morning their time, Israel made a couple of attacks, key attacks in Syria with some key targets there. But the important ones, they struck in Iran, in Iranian territory, Iranian bases, and they did not go after the nuclear sites, but at least one of the bases I think it's Isfahan or whatever, is like right next to some nuclear sites. And Israelis telegraphed a message saying, basically, listen, Iran, we can strike you anytime we want to, and we can take out your nuclear program if we want to. And this is what we're doing right now. And if you push us, we can do more, and there's nothing you can do about it. So one of the reasons they were successful is Iran is right away trying to deny anything happened. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here. Certainly wasn't a strike by Israel in Iranian territory. Nothing to see here, because after all their bluster, they're trying to save face. Well, pray for the situation there in Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, of course, ultimately, it's God who never slumbers nor sleeps that's going to ultimately protect Israel. So pray for them. All right. Well, having said all that, I wanted to get back to our discussion of the eternal location where the saints are going to dwell, and that is the New Jerusalem and the New Heaven and the New Earth. And we've been talking about that off and on for several months now. And we talked about the last days, things that are going to happen, and talking with, listening to Pastor Lutz in the last half hour, which if you don't listen to his program at 1 o'clock, let me encourage you to do so, and also stay for Pastor Rusnacko at 2 o'clock and listen to his program, and both great programs and a real blessing. But talking about the idea that, this could be our our last time here. I mean, preaching, last time teaching, last time having a service, last time doing a radio program. We don't know when the Lord's coming back for us, but, you know, we see things that are happening, things that are going on in the world today. We have Passover starting, it'll be at sunset, I believe, on the 22nd, and that's a major holiday, start of the seven Levitical feasts for Israel. And there's still a lot of conjecture that they may sacrifice red heifers during that time. Some people are trying to poo-poo the idea. But I keep coming back to the fact that they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think it was $500,000, to acquire these five red heifers and bring them to Israel. And they've been taking care of them and all this stuff that's going on. And then they've spent years, decades, trying to get a suitable red heifer, and now they've got the five of them. One of them was disqualified, I believe, so there's four left. And to think that they spent all that money, all that time, all that effort invested in these, and then they're just going to let them get too old, because in a few months they'll be too old to use. So somewhere along the line, I think they're going to do it myself. But as far as we're concerned as Christians, it really ultimately has nothing to do with us. But for the Jewish people, they believe it's necessary so that they can purify the priests and everything necessary to rebuild the third temple. And so from that standpoint, as a Bible-believing Christian, when I look at anything that seems to be bringing the date of the temple being built closer and closer, to me, it tells me that the date that we're going to be called out of here is coming closer and closer. And I believe we're in that terminal generation. I don't know when it's going to happen, but hey, today'd be a good day. Passover would be a good day. The day after Passover would be a good day. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. And you see the things that are happening in this world, the way our country's descending into a banana republic sort of state, and I could go on and on, but I wanted to focus in again. I was thinking about this and all the new stuff we could be talking about. I think it's important for us as believers to remember what God has in store for us, to remember the promises of God, and to remember that he's not forgotten us. He's still concerned about us. And as we see the things that are happening in the world around us that point to the return of Christ, that point to the soon, before the return of Christ, as we talked before, the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period on earth, which will entail, of course, the coming to power of the Antichrist, the false Christ, the beast, as he's called, the son of perdition, as he's called in the Bible. And he comes to power, ruling over the world, over one world government. And we see all these things coming together. And I'm reminded that in Luke, Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That tells me the closer we come to these things, the more likely it is that we are going to see the soon calling up of the believers in the event we call the rapture to be with him in heaven. As we're gathered together with him, the events of the tribulation will then begin to take place here on the earth. And using the Jewish people as an index, the Bible says that 2/3 of the Jewish people who are alive at the beginning of the tribulation will die before the end of the tribulation. Only 1/3 of them will survive. And if you extrapolate that to the rest of the population of the world, imagine 2/3 of the world's population dying. And let's say that with the rapture taking place and the catching away of believers, that the earth, just for ease of understanding it, that the earth was left with 6 billion people on it. 7 years later, there'd only be 3 billion people left. I mean, that is just mind-boggling, but it's going to be through natural disaster. It's going to be through disease and famine and war and pestilence and all kinds of things that are going to take place as the wrath of God is poured out on a world that has rejected him. But the good thing is the 1/3 of the Jewish people that survive to the end of the tribulation will embrace Christ as their Savior, and they will be saved, gloriously saved, and they will go into the millennial kingdom, as well as the multitudes of Gentile believers that realize who Jesus is during the tribulation, and they survive the tribulation, they also will go into the millennial kingdom. And then we who have been caught up to be with the Lord in the air in the rapture, we will return with Christ at the end of the tribulation, and then we will be a part of his global rule over the earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, there's the final judgment, the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, and then one final rebellion by the devil. And then we have the new heaven and the new earth. And that's in Revelation 21 and 22. And that's what we've been looking at. And in it's so exciting when you look at this. You know, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the Bible says. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things which he's prepared for us. And when we look at this is incredible. I was talking about this last time, and how the New Jerusalem, besides being this absolutely immense thing, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. I personally think it would be in the shape of a pyramid, and if that's the case, it would contain about 1.125 billion cubic miles. That's just absolutely incredible. I also believe, as I talked about last week, that it's going to descend from heaven. The Bible says it several times in Revelation 21:2, coming down from God out of heaven, and Revelation 21:10, descending out of heaven from God. And it never says that it actually sets place on the earth, so it may be parked in an orbit over the earth, and I personally believe it would be doing this, and I favor a geosynchronous orbit, perhaps over the area that would correspond to the Jewish nation that will be on the earth at that time. You say, wait a minute, what about nations on the earth? Well, we're going to get to that here, and we touched on a little bit of that. We touched on in Revelation chapter 21, where it says in verse 24, it says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." So we see there's nations on the earth. Now keep in mind, this is going to be the eternal state. This is the new heavens and the new earth. The new heavens, of course, the new heaven, the spiritual heaven, where the angels are, the present spiritual heaven has been tainted by sin because of Satan's rebellion and the third of the angels that rebelled with him. And Satan currently still has access to the throne room where he accuses the brethren. And you can see some of that in Job 1 and Job 2. And then he is going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And one of the reasons for the new heaven is to have a heaven that's purged from the stain and stench of sin that took place there. And then there's the new earth and the new material realm. And of course, the new heaven being the spiritual realm, and the new earth, the new material realm, the new material physical universe, of course, and it'd be the earth, and then it would be the atmosphere and space, which would be the first and second heavens, and the spiritual heaven being the third heaven. All of that will be renewed because all of that has been stained with the stain and stench of sin, and that's why the Bible talks about how it's all going to melt with a fervent heat. And we talked about some of this in the past, about how in 2 Peter and in chapter 3, he says in verse 10, "Looking for and hastening unto that coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And it's really interesting when you think about this. Everything that exists right now is held together by the power of God's word. And as God holds everything together, all he has to do is release that hold, and everything will fly apart and melt with a fervent heat. And so when that takes place, that's what I think that Peter was writing about there, and the everything melting with the fervent heat. And then he's going to have the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, where it's being prepared for us right now. And that will be, of course, preserved through that, and that'll be a part of the new heaven and the new earth situation. It comes down, this vast structure, and then we have, of course, the people living in the light of it here on the earth. And these people that we see, we have to understand there's a lot of people down through the ages that have embraced a coming Messiah. We have the nations and kings of the earth, I think, made up of believers from other dispensations, the pre-flood believers. That would be those before Noah's ark. Then, of course, the post-flood believers from the times of the patriarchs prior to the law. And you see Abraham and different ones there. And then the Jewish and Gentile believers from the time of the law to the time of the cross. And then we'd also have the tribulation saints and the millennial saints, those that are born during the millennium and those that come to Christ during the millennium. These are going to make up these nations on the new earth, but they're going to have access to the new Jerusalem at any time. The new Jerusalem, of course, being primary residence of the bride of Christ, which would be you, be me, all of those that have trusted Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be part of the bride of Christ, and your residence is going to be in the New Jerusalem. These other believers from other dispensations will be making up the nations of the earth that walk in the light of the New Jerusalem. And this may, as I've said before, serve as a gateway between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. We see in the Bible the windows of heaven being open. When Jesus ascended up into heaven, a cloud received him out of his sight. It's not like the song says, somewhere beyond the starry sky, but the scriptures always point the entrance into the spiritual heaven as being up in the clouds, relatively close at hand. And I think that the temple of God being in the New Jerusalem shows us that the New Jerusalem will be the anchor point and the opening between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And this will be an area where people from the physical realm, the saved, the redeemed, the ages, can visit the spiritual realm. And of course, the angels can visit the physical realm through that. Revelation 21:22 says, "The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." And so it seems that the throne room of God, which we saw described in detail in Revelation chapter 4, might be located in the New Jerusalem, or, and this is speculation on my part, I think it's going to exist simultaneously in both the physical realm, i.e. in the New Jerusalem, as well as in the physical, in the spiritual realm. And if the New Jerusalem is shaped like a pyramid, this would make sense that the apex of the pyramid would be the gateway into the spiritual realm. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, Peter writes this. He says, "To whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." And you see the bride of Christ being described here as a spiritual house with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, who's also made the head of the corner, and he's also called the stone which the builders disallowed, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And this description really is kind of interesting, because in the building of a pyramid, this is a perfect description of the capstone of the pyramid. And it's also the only stone that has the shape of the pyramid, the whole structure there. And it's the last stone to be put in place. And until then, it's in the way. It's a stone of stumbling. And there's many things that we see going on with that. So I think this is a good indication that the pyramid shape is likely what it's going to be. But it is going to be an incredible place where we're going to be able to dwell. Again, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. If you want to see that place, if you want to live there for all eternity, it's very simple. You need to put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior if you haven't done so. If you have, you're going to be there, and we're going to fellowship with the Lord for all eternity. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.